Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's part two of our discussion with Dr. Gustavo Ferrer. Our subject is the cough. And Dr. Ferrer's author of a new book, Cough Cures, the Best Natural Remedies and Over-the-Counter Drugs for Acute and Chronic Cough. And he does a deep dive on the subject of coughs, when to hold and when to fold in terms of self-care, because there, you know, cough can sometimes be a harbinger of something more serious that you need to see the doctor about. But then again, there's the potential for overkill with diagnostic tests, x-rays, CAT scans, you name it, and or unnecessary therapy, because many coughs are self-limited and can be addressed with simple natural remedies. So before we get into natural remedies, Dr. Ferrer, let's review some of the over-the-counter options that patients often turn to. What's out there, and you know, what are some of the benefits or drawbacks?
Great question. In the book, we have an entire chapter dedicated to conventional remedies, medicine, drugs, and over-the-counters that have been used for many, many, many years. And we've got in detail in their value, their use, and so on. They're usually divided. We have a large table there. We divide it in the categories that they are easy to understand. We use the antihistamine medication as a expectorant, medication to help break up the mucus, and we go down and talk about decongestants, and we also talk about other medications that they are over-the-counter, like medication to help remove the mucus, the saline, xylitol combinations, and so on. When it comes to the antihistamines, the most common use, unfortunately, most of the antihistamine and expectorants, like Mucinex, is one of those, all of them, they are combined in a multitude of products. And there's three or four family of medications. They have over 3,000 varieties of different type of medications in available today in the over-the-counter. Many doctors don't even understand that conundrum. Combinations and mm-hmm. and every single industry goes or dispenser or pharmacy, they create their own brands. You go to Target and they have their own Target brand, and you mm-hmm. go to Walgreens, CVS, or any of those, and they have their own brands. So and that adds to the whole confusion of this group of medication. But if we go to the top two or three, we're going to find that antihistamine are the most widely used. Mm-hmm. They do have good value when people have significant post-nasal drip, but they have a lot of side effects.
Yeah.
And, you know, they can have issues with coordination. They can mm-hmm. have sleepiness, drowsiness. People develop blur vision. And if they have diseases like glaucoma of the eyes, increased pressure in the eyes, they can make the pressure in the eyes higher. People that have prostate issues, for people older than 50, they can produce urinary retention in mm-hmm. male and female as well. I have multitude of patients with those issues. Mm-hmm. You know, the more we study this, there is a group of people up in Boston that they are looking into the association between the antihistamine and the dementia. Because we are using yeah. also antihistamine
right.
As a PM medication for sleep, you know.
Are these the so-called cholinergic side effects of medications, or is this a different category?
Correct.
Of interview? Okay, so
yeah, that's right.
The chronic use of these somewhat sedating meds, really common sometimes for urinary problems, you know, older individuals sometimes have urinary issues, may in older, more vulnerable individuals create mental confusion.
That's exactly right. And, you know, there is an ongoing study on the issue of dementia. There is an ongoing study also in relationship to the combination of antihistamines like the Benadryl and those families with Tylenol and all the issues that we have. Acetaminophen, which is the Tylenol, is still the most common reason for liver failure in America, producing mm-hmm. the largest number of liver need for liver transplant in America. And both of them, they are questioning into could they be related to the increase in asthma that we see in the country today.
Yep.
So there is a lot of, you know, potential side effects. And all this medication that they are buried in a multitude of products like the PM medications that they combine acetaminophen and Benadryl as well.
Well, they knock you out, which is the object. I mean, you know, it's like they sedate you and, you know, that helps to let people sleep when they're subject to coughs.
That's exactly right. And all the other medications, we already talked a little bit about codeine-based medication. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we have a large group in there that the evidence shows that all these cough suppressants, they do not work for cough. There are research after research showing that. The American College of Chest Physician has stated that they don't work, and they don't know why we still have those medication over the counter. We don't have evidence that support their use for cough, but we do have evidence that kids and teenagers are using those medication to combine them with alcohol and soda and creating powerful drugs. We have tons of kids that are dying. The consumption of these combinations of drugs keeps going up. Statistics shows that probably 3 out of 5 teens in high school in America know somebody that is using these kind of combinations to get high. And even more pathetic, we have, unfortunately, we have celebrities that they are popularizing this kind of stuff in their music and songs. So we as a consumers need to become smart and understand all this risk and take control.
What about guaifenesin? You know, that's an expectorant, and it's an ingredient in many of these remedies. It's supposed to break up mucus. Does it really work?
No, not a lot of evidence for the use, and I'm going to tell you, I have never used it. I never recommend it. 25 years of practice.
That's amazing.
Never recommend it. Fluids can do, just water can do the same thing. There are many teas and herbs with great evidence that have been used by many different cultures around the world that they're highly effective. And that's what I grew up with. You know, we use a multitude of those. And so I think the evidence is on the other side. Now, precisely in these medications, that they have also significant number of side effects, and that's the reason. You know, the evidence doesn't support it, and the daily practice does not support that. So we do not recommend them.
And of course, then there's DM, dextromethorphan, which is an ingredient in products like Robitussin DM, very popular ingredient for coughs. And I remember I remember when I was studying pediatrics in medical school. It was about 35 years ago. My attending, a wise old pediatrician, said, "You know, Robitussin is great." He says, "If you're late for rounds and you want to polish your brown shoes, it's just great. It just will give it a nice, gives your shoes a nice shine. But other than that, it's worthless." What's your take?
He is absolutely right. Dextromethorphan may suppress the cough, but it's because it's linked to the codeine family. You have all the side effects linked to that. Actually, dextromethorphan is the one that teenagers abuse the most.
Okay.
And back about in the early 1990s in Dallas, it was a famous rapper at the beginning of the rap music. He actually created a song about dextromethorphan with alcohol. It's something called the Purple Drank.
Wow.
Unfortunately, the Purple Drank became very popular in those circles. And very unfortunately, he and his protege, both of them, died of an overdose of dextromethorphan.
Wow. Little pop culture.
Pop
culture trivia there. Yeah, I didn't even know that. So, and of course, many of these remedies are laced with alcohol. Sometimes in the past where I've suffered from a cough, I've said, you know, forget the cough remedies. They're mostly alcohol anyway. Let me have a little, hot rum maybe with a dollop of honey. And, you know, I'll use that as a nightcap to suppress my cough. And, you know, alcohol is a sedating agent, but you're going to get a generous amount of alcohol with some of these remedies, right?
That's absolutely right. You know, America and the American Academy of Pediatrics fought tremendously against the use of alcohol as the base for many of these syrups in the over-the-counter. And we have them less and less. But outside America, there's no regulation about that. And you have some syrups from some countries, not that I do this, we launched the book in Spanish and we went to Dominican Republic and I found there, because I'm in the curiosity now, exploring pharmacies and so on, you can find up to 20% of alcohol in many of these
40
products.
Proof. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah. So people get it and, you know, you get many places popular, very popular syrups are based on 10 to 20% of alcohol. So,
hey, I don't even have a cough and I'll have a shot of that, you know. sounds good, right?
Okay, the World Health Organization talks about that.
Yeah. So let's switch gears and we'll talk about some of the natural approaches. Obviously, those are the ones you prefer. So what do you do for, you know, a cough maybe in the wake of a upper respiratory infection?
You know, I begin with the basics. I usually tell my patients, you know, a good diet is always important. We have recommendations based on that. Everybody knows or heard, and there is a lot of information about that. Because the mucus is such a problem, and the cough is usually linked to the tickle. And because the research is supporting the use of saline combined with xylitol, we are big proponents of that. Mm-hmm. And the reason is, xylitol has been able to in combination with saline, been able to do a few things that saline wasn't able to do. Saline tend to dry it after using sometimes. Saline is also very acid and can burn the nasal passages in the wrong run.
So this would be clear nasal spray, X-L-E-A-R.
That's correct.
Right. By the way, I just share with you that I have a tendency when I have a cold, and this happens to a lot of people, I get a little bit of a rebound. I get the cold. I'm better for a couple of days, and I read that this is a characteristic of colds for many people. Then I get a little rebound sinusitis, and then I feel the pressure in my head and the little yellowish, greenish, you know. And so this time when I had a little cold, I was determined to use Neti Clear, which is using a little, in my case, a little ceramic applicator. It's like a little, you're familiar with it. It's a little jar that you put like a little tiny tea kettle, you put the pre-mixed saline and clear in that. And then I very assiduously rinsed my nasal passages, you know, four times a day. I did it, you know, as they suggest, because you need to do it several times a day. And I had not one vestige of that aftermath. So I think that that's a good thing to do preventively to prevent an aftermath of a sinus infection. But I often recommend clear nasal spray to my asthma patients, because recognizing that there is a post-nasal drip component to the asthma.
You are absolutely right. You know, I recommend the same thing. I see multitude of people that tells me, you know, I have this chronic rhinosinus problem. I'm going to get a flu. It looks like it's getting better, and then I get some sinus pressure. And it's usually because the mucus dries up in the passages, and they create a local inflammation, and they block the drainage of the sinuses. So this is another beauty of the clear product. Xylitol kills some bacteria. There are evidence about that, but also helps break down this multitude of breakdown tissue that has become dried up in the mucosa. Mm-hmm. And helps clear that. And I use it with my own family, my kids, myself. I use it when I travel. This is one of the reasons we get stuffy nose, runny nose, and sometimes even cold and flus when we travel in airplanes. Airplanes are pressurized to 3,000 feet. And up there, they have great systems of cleaning the air, but it's too dry. And that is an issue. So there are studies that gargling or using nasal sprays can help prevent issues in that regard. So we're proponents of that. I do something with my asthma patients and my COPDers as well.
Mm-hmm. And what are there any herbal combinations or any vitamins that you suggest for patients?
Absolutely. You know, and let's tackle the last one. You know, I'm so happy we wrote this book, looking into all the research out there, and just 3 weeks ago, you know, the New England Journal of Medicine Watch, which is a reviewer of journal, recommend, you know, pulled out a multi-system review that was published in another powerful journal, and they found, you know, that people that consume vitamin D3, mm-hmm. They tend to have less respiratory problems. And, yep. And this is something that the holistic people have been mentioning for many, many years. And, you know, 2 years ago in the COPD arena was found that if it's low and you replace it, people do better. And today the research is outstanding for vitamin D3. So much so that I think it was in NPR and everywhere a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So we are a big proponent of vitamin D3, not vitamin D2. This
right.
is an issue there.
More so bioavailable is D3, yeah.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. We are proponent, there are evidence for garlic. Is an strong antimicrobial. You can use it, you can cook it, saute it, or something like that, add it to the regular diet during those periods of developing respiratory problems, or you can use the garlic capsules. But also, you know, there are great teas that have been proven. If you have cough associated with acute flu and sore throat, ginger tea mm-hmm. combined with lemon and honey is powerful.
Is it mucolytic? Is it actually something where it's demonstrated that the quality of that, the pungency of it thins or breaks up the mucus or causes you to expectorate or secrete more mucus?
That's exactly right. And that's what many cultures, the Jamaican people in the Caribbean island, they use it exactly for that purpose, to break off the mucus and get it off. And there are evidence that support that. And it's extremely suiting for the throat. And so it's an excellent combination. And ginger is widely available everywhere today. We also recommend, you know, a good probiotic with a good formulation and they have, you know, more than 20,000 colonies of bacteria and combine it. There is actually an ongoing study on asthma and probiotic. There are some preliminary reports on that. In kids, you know, that decreases the frequency of asthma attacks and so on. Because, you know, unfortunately, many kids diet, and that had happened even in my own family because the schools and so on, with my own kids, they get a diet that is not probiotic friendly. It's not a prebiotic diet, mm-hmm. and it tend to be a problem. So, you know, combining probiotics with a prebiotic diet that is a combination of good vegetables, colored vegetables and fruits, you know, they tend to do very good. I have multitude of patients that we're gathering with asthma and some other chronic conditions that we have recommended specific, you know, diet plan that include prebiotics and plus mm-hmm. probiotics, and the number of crises have gone down. And I also recommend a good blend of immune support herbs such as echinacea, golden seal, astragalus. Mm-hmm. Those are really, really good. There are many brands that are available in most grocery stores today that they are powerful.
How about some of the traditional cough remedies that are made from cherry bark, colt's foot, things like that? You know, the old Smith Brothers cough drops, I think, used to have some of those ingredients.
Oh, yes, absolutely. You know, elderberry and all these mm-hmm. syrups are are excellent, excellent products. You know, they're really good for cough that has sore throat and around the flu season. And we definitely have evidence for most of them. And we have actually the precise formulation in there. You know, one of the issues when we step into this arena, speaking and talking about herbs and teas and so on, one of the issues that not all of them, they are created equal.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So you're going to find a variety of products that they don't have what they advertise they have. They don't have the quality that they advertise they have. And that's the reason we go into, you know, advising people a little bit more in details, you know.
Yeah, you know, you follow the literature as a pulmonologist. I think there have been some studies on N-acetylcysteine, which actually you administer in the ICU as mucomist, but that's given not orally. I think it's given, you know, via a spray or an NG tube. I'm not even sure which. But N-acetylcysteine is sometimes touted as mucolytic or something that can break up mucus or beneficial for respiratory problems. So I think there have been some studies pro and con. Are you versed in that?
That's right. Absolutely. You know, N-acetylcysteine, it's actually a great product. In a sentence to a couple of sentences, we summarize the history. The issue was when it was put into nebulizer. And much of the research done nebulizer shows that yes, it can break up some mucus, but yes, had some side effects that really worked against mucomys, and it fell out of favors in hospitals and pulmonologist circles. But we have evidence for the treatment of you know, scar tissue in the lungs. There is the largest trial done on anti-inflammatories or medications to treat lung fibrosis. It's called Panther trial, published about 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was stopped early because prednisone was damaging. People were dying actually sooner.
Mm-hmm.
But the only branch that would show some effect was the mucomist, and acetylcysteine, the NAC. On the 600 milligrams twice a day,
orally, which is commonly available.
Orally.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and we as a pulmonologist, even when I was not involved in recommending conventional traditional remedies, in my ILD patients, we send them to Whole Foods or to a place to find, because regular pharmacies don't have their capsules one. And so we send them to GMC or any of those that they can go and find the real 600 milligrams. And there are evidence behind that. And I, you know, my colleagues and friends that they practice holistic medicine, they've been using that for a long time with great, great results.
Excellent. So what, Dr. Ferrer, what's today's intelligent medicine take-home message? First of all, the book, let's mention that. Cough Cures, the Best Natural Remedies and Over-the-Counter Drugs for Acute and Chronic Cough. That's available from usual sources, right?
That's right. The book is available in Amazon, and it's also available in Barnes & Noble and other outlets. They can find it online. It is in our website, GustavoFerrerMD.com or CoughCuresTheBook.com. And you know, the take-home message is that we have to become better consumers, by, you know, better consumers of everything, of healthcare, which is the topic that we're talking here today, will make us, and, you know, better patient, will help us save money, and in the long run, live a healthier life. And by that, we need to be educated. So the book was written in an easy-to-read, full of real-life stories, so that, you know, we can bring good value to patients and family. And the book summarizes, you know, the four or five things that people need to know for the most common reason for cough, and it will definitely help them save money. We spend about $7.7 billion on respiratory medications over the counter every year in America. The majority of them, they don't work. So we can definitely save some money and put it to good value. And so we'll, you know, outline all that in the book. And so we have a multitude of blogs in my website that answers common questions for people if bronchitis is contagious. And we have videos also for all that. So
what's your website?
This is our goal. My website is GustavoFerrerMD.com.
Okay, and that's spelled F-E-R-R-E-R, and Gustavo E-R. Is phonetic. Gustavo Ferrer, like Mel Ferrer, right, the actor?
That's right.
Okay. And right. And of course, our favorite product, Clear Nasal Spray, that's spelled X-L-E-A-R, is available at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health retailers nationwide. Also Target and CVS and Rite Aid. And if you want a complete list of retailers, you can find it at Clear, X-L-E-A-R.com. Thank you, Dr. Ferrer, for a most enlightening discussion of a subject that really deserves our attention.
Thank you for having me. Well, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
My pleasure. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.